Chapter 15. I blinked as the stone dungeon materialized around me, and I stepped out of the swirling golden portal to find Cid's pauldrons fastened on my shoulders and Amber's bow across my back. "Testing, testing," I muttered to the girls as I partially shut the closet doors around the portal.
"Hello?"
Cid immediately said in my mind, and I chuckled at her eager voice. "Hey, Cid," I smiled. "Amber?"
"I'm here,"
the redhead said.
"Your mind isn't going into overdrive with us both in your head?"
"I'll be okay. My mind's in overdrive even without your voices inside my head, since I'm always thinking about you two, even when I'm trying not to." I shrugged casually, and then I laughed at the women's response to my brazen flirting. Amber was used to it. Cid, maybe not so much, but the gorgeous black-haired woman didn't seem too offended, if her light giggling was anything to go by. I smiled to myself and then took in my surroundings. The stone dungeon that housed the portal between worlds looked much the same as it always did. It was cool and dark, with the only light coming from a single lit torch flickering in the sconce on the wall, beside the staircase that led upward to the cabin. The only other thing inside the chamber was the antique wooden closet that mirrored the one in my dorm room, and I made sure to grab both of Harold's potion vials from the inside shelf before I turned to face the previously caved-in tunnel off to the side. The chilly darkness surrounding me wasn't off-putting at all, even though it probably should have been. I actually found it comforting more than anything else, like the stone entrance chamber acted as some form of solitary respite against the craziness of both this world and my own. I unhooked the flaming torch from the iron sconce, and I held it in my left hand as I walked under the archway and through the singular tunnel that led deeper into the massive and labyrinthian dungeon itself.
"You think it'll change around again?"
Amber asked in a quiet voice as I pressed deeper into the stone maze. "The pathways?" I clarified while I let the flames of the torch guide my way. "Maybe."
"This dungeon, it's buried in the hill beneath Haddon?"
Cid asked curiously. "Yeah," I muttered as I kept one foot in front of the other, and the sound of my sneakers against the ground echoed around the stone walls. "We found a huge swamp that housed a witch, and the terrifying cavern full of vampires that we found you in so far."
"Wow."
Cid whispered in awe.
"I wonder what we'll find this time."
"It's anyone's guess." I shrugged as the stone tunnel suddenly grew bigger, and I found myself in the same antechamber as before, with the different tunnels leading onto different paths within the dungeon proper. I'd taken the middle one first, which had steered me toward the swamp witch, and the one on the far left had brought me to the vampire's nest. So this time, I opted for one of the several tunnels on the right. There was the chance the paths had shuffled again, and I would end up someplace I'd already been, but that was all right. I was keen to explore the dungeon, even if it meant tumbling back or coming across potential supernatural threats. So I kept my grip on the torch tight and my eyes sharp as I pressed on. I grew more and more confident in my abilities as the days went by, and with each adventure into the other world, I grew stronger and surer. That strength had even filtered through into the real world, which I'd realized when I accidentally smashed Brad the frat boy's jaw into smithereens. I smirked at the memory of his watering eyes and bloody mouth, and I pressed deeper into the cool expanse of the dungeon, with my magically lit torch held high. Every 10 feet or so, another torch was nailed to the wall in a rusted iron sconce, but I kept hold of my one just in case that particular pattern stopped and I was left in the darkness. I would never say I was particularly afraid of the dark, but being lost in an ever-changing stone maze with no light didn't exactly sound like my version of fun. I had Amber's fire arrows, at least, but they would have ended up just a slightly elongated version of Indiana Jones lighting a match and waiting for it to flicker out after a brief moment of light. "I can hear something," I said suddenly, and I immediately stopped in my tracks, with my ears searching intently for the noise I'd picked up on somewhere further ahead.
"Is that buzzing?"
Amber muttered in a grim tone. She was right. Somewhere in the dungeon in front of me, I could hear the steady thrum of what sounded like millions of some sort of insect, like the annoyance of being hounded by a fly at a barbecue, only magnified to the point where it sounded like hundreds all at once. "Ah, this isn't going to be fun at all," I groaned under my breath as I begrudgingly kept moving forward, though I noticeably slowed my pace to try and avoid my footsteps from being heard by whatever was the cause of the noise. My breath stopped in my throat as I took in my gory surroundings. The cavern in which I stood looked completely different from the vampire nest, though it was probably about the same size. The vamps had lived in a massive hall that looked like it could have belonged to a castle once upon a time, with a library and stairs and balustrades, and even some rotten parts of carpet. The buzzing cave I'd found now was, in fact, just a cave, but it was absolutely massive, almost tall enough for my dorm building to have fit comfortably, and about just as wide. But it had huge spindly fingers of stalagmites sprouting up from the floor in haphazard groups. They looked like the fingers of an ancient god, attempting to break through the surface of the earth, like a zombie trapped in a grave. Corresponding stalactites dripped down from the jagged ceiling, like skeletal chandeliers, and the air was stagnant and musky, and smelled like one wrong flicker of flame from my torch could set the entire place ablaze. Though, it hadn't happened yet, so I figured at least that part was safe. The grossest thing about the gigantic cavern, though, was the actual source of the constant buzzing that filled the air with vibration.
Flies?
Amber asked.
But how many?
Too many to count, I muttered, and I held my breath as my stomach churned with a mixture of disgust and nerves. The creatures weren't just any old household fly. They were huge, each insect at least the size of a small cat, and they were bloated in shape with weird translucent sacs on their backs just below their fluttering wings. Their eyes were bulbous and milky, almost as if they were blind, and I watched as a small stray group of the creatures bounced off one another like engorged bumblebees. Every couple of feet, nestled into the rock itself, was a fly nest. They were disgusting mounds filled with holes that oozed a strange black liquid, and the insects would skitter and burrow in and out of the nests at will. Whatever the source of the weird dark goo was, it stank to high heaven, like a gross cocktail of gore and gasoline. My skin had started to crawl long before I'd even taken all of this information in, and I fought off a full-body shiver. Well, I'll have to clear this out, I decided in a low voice. We can't have an infestation this close to Haddon.
They look like blood flies,
Sid said darkly.
I read about them once.
Blood flies? I repeated in confusion. Like mosquitoes?
I've never heard of mosquitoes,
Sid admitted.
But I remember reading about blood fly infestations in an old book in the Baron's library. They feed by paralyzing their prey and sucking out all of their blood. They can feast on an entire town in just a day.
That would explain the sacks on their backs, I whispered, and gritted my teeth against another involuntary shudder. But they must have been buried here for God knows how long. There's no blood for them to feed on.
They feed on themselves,
Amber suddenly said in a strained voice.
Look over there, right next to that spiky bit of rock.
My stomach turned over when I spied what the redhead had been referring to. The carcass of a dead bloodfly was attached to a particularly thick stalactite, and a cluster of about five other insects swarmed over its body. The feeding bloodflies had long spikes protruding from their heads, which I guessed acted like a natural straw for them because I watched as they stabbed their victim's flesh with the spikes. Then, within another second, the sacs on their backs were filled with the same putrid black liquid I'd seen all over the nest clusters. Holy shit, I muttered through my still gritted teeth. Sid, what else do you remember about blood flies? How did people get rid of infestations?
I don't remember,
she sighed.
It wasn't an enjoyable read. I didn't get that far. I'm sorry.
I don't blame you, I muttered darkly. Well, let's try lighting them up, shall we?
Fire fixes everything,
Amber said with determination.
My power is your power, Jeems.
I pulled her bow off my back and knocked an arrow already glowing with Amber's imbued firepower. Then I hunkered down beside a particularly thick stalagmite, briefly took aim, and sent the fire arrow into one of the oozing black holes of the nest. It exploded on impact, and the sound rattled around the cavern like a bomb. The fire from Amber's arrow set the nest alight, and I realized the stored blood must have acted like a detonator. The nest itself had been blown to smithereens, but in doing so, it released a swarm of angry blood flies. The incessant drone of their infuriating buzzing was deafening, and I quickly skittered even lower down beside the stalagmite so the blood flies couldn't see me. I suspected their milky eyes were blind, but I wasn't sure, and I wasn't going to take the chance that I was wrong. The sound of them set my teeth on edge, like constant nails on a chalkboard, and I peered my head around the finger of rock to see what was happening. A good number of blood flies had been killed from the explosion, but the majority had survived enough to contribute to the swarm inside the cavern. There were at least 5 nests I could see inside the cave, and I held the groan in my throat as I wondered what the fuck I could even do with an infestation of this size. "I think we'll have to freeze them," I muttered under my breath as I watched the cloud of milky-eyed blood flies buzz around their fallen comrades before they eventually landed and started to feed. "Then we can blow them up."
"Well, they're feeding on each other right now,"
Sid said in a disgusted voice.
"Maybe we wait till they're full up with blood, freeze them, and then we can make them into bombs of themselves."
"Good idea." I nodded appreciatively as I carefully slid another arrow out of the quiver. "Ice and fire coming right up." I watched in disgust as the swarm of blood flies that had been disturbed from the nest fed greedily on their dead. After a few minutes, the corpses were nothing but shriveled and empty shells, and the live flies were heavy and full of inky black goo. "They can't fly when they're full," I whispered. "They look drunk almost."
"Now's the time,"
Amber agreed, and she kept her voice low, even though it was inside my head.
"Freeze them and blow them up."
"You got it," I answered as I pulled the bowstring tight. "The ice impact is pretty wide if I remember from when we fought the vamp nest. Let's see if we can catch them all." I aimed at the middle of the group of bloated blood flies and let the frozen arrow soar through the air toward them. It speared one of the flies straight through the head, and the burst of ice immediately spread to cover almost the entire nest worth of insects. "Okay, fire!" I hissed at Amber and quickly knocked another arrow. I felt the arrow sizzle against my cheek as Amber's power switched, and then I let the projectile loose. It crackled with flames as it whipped through the air, and I immediately hunkered back down behind my stalagmite as the arrowhead sank into the frozen blood sac on the back of the closest fly. The explosion was even louder than when we'd blown the nest, and the cave rumbled dangerously as if someone had just set off an entire box of TNT. "Shit!" I hissed as I watched large chunks of stone wobble and fall from the ceiling, but eventually the rock fall stopped as the loud bang subsided.
"Good job!"
Amber whooped inside my mind.
"That worked!"
"Only 4 more to go," I muttered grimly. "I'm gonna have to use Harold's blink potion to get around this place, though."
"That's probably worth doing,"
Sid quickly agreed.
"The lower the profile you can keep, the less chance they'll swarm you."
"Yeah, I don't particularly like the sound of having my blood drained by a bunch of insects, to be honest." I huffed as I dug around in my pockets for the little vial of glimmering potion that Harold had replenished for me. I filled the dropper and let 3 drops of the potion hit my tongue. Then I swallowed and waited a moment for the magic to take effect. The electrical feeling shuddered through my veins, and the full body shudder I'd suppressed before suddenly made me shiver as I let out a deep breath. "Damn, that feels good," I chuckled quietly to myself as I secured my grip on Amber's bow. "Okay, let's clear these damn things out." The next nest was just a ways over, past another cluster of stalagmites, so I focused my eyes on the jagged rock formation and let my magic-imbued mind take me to where I needed to go. I blinked my eyes, and when I opened them again, I was suddenly huddled behind the stalagmites, with the drone of the bloodfly nest loud in my ears. I made quick work of the second nest and used the same process to blow the insides out. Let the flies angrily feed upon each other until the translucent sacs on their backs were filled with explosive blood, and then freeze them and blow them all to smithereens. I was grateful for the rocks that acted as my cover, because the weird, frozen, slushy cocktail of dead insects and sticky black blood was not something I wanted anywhere near me. Their stench would probably linger in my nostrils for days after, but I certainly didn't want any literal reminder of the grossness. I blinked across to another rock formation next to the nearest nest and quickly shot a fiery arrow into one of the oozing black holes to make it explode again. Only this time, the force of the blast caused the cavern to groan and complain, and the rock started to fall from the ceiling. "Oh, shit!" I yelled in surprise as I dove away from the massive chunks of falling stone. It put me right in the view of the blood flies, which were twice as furious at the rockfall. And I skidded on an oily patch of blood as I tried to turn on my heel. I spotted another cluster of stalagmites straight across the broken nest and hurriedly used my blink ability to shoot over there. But just as I rematerialized, a chunk of rock fell from the cavern ceiling and hit my shoulder. I let out another shout, almost preempting the pain, but Sid's sleek black pauldrons glowed as the stone hit me, and the stone bounced off my shoulder as if it were nothing more than a football. The cave around me groaned again, but the rocks had stopped falling, and I caught my breath behind the formation of gray stalagmites. "Sid!" I gasped as the adrenaline fizzed through my veins. "He saved my ass!"
"I told you I'd protect you,"
Sid said in her soft, serene voice. No kidding! I chuckled as I tightened my grip on Amber's bow. I'd have been squished with these bugs if it weren't for you. My eyes grazed over my hand, and I quickly half-dropped the bow so I could inspect my skill tree tattoo. Because Cid and her shiny black pauldrons had actively saved me, the marking on the back of my hand that looked like a skill tree had stretched and morphed in order to accommodate my new defense stat.
Let's not make being squished like blood flies a reality.
Amber giggled in my head, and her voice brought me out of my admiration.
Ice coming up!
I knocked the arrow and sent it flying into the rock-covered nest of blood flies, and their full bodies squeaked and then crackled as they froze in place. I blinked away to the next nest before I blew the frozen nest into pieces, but the cavern thankfully remained intact enough for me to take out the rest of the nests with relative ease. After about another half hour of blinking around the infested cave, the place was eventually clear of blood flies, aside from a couple strays. They're all full, I noticed as I watched them buzz slowly against the ground beneath the weight of their blood sacks. I'll have to just take them out one by one.
You should just be able to blow them up,
Amber reasoned.
If they're full, that means they'll explode on impact.
Yeah, you're right. I grinned as I pulled another arrow out of the quiver. Fire, please.
Oh, you got it.
Amber chuckled, and the bow and arrow in my hands crackled and warmed as she imbued the weapon with her second ability. I made quick work of the few remaining blood flies, and now that I'd cleared the dungeon of them, it was kind of fun to watch them explode into a million pieces. They were still absolutely fucking disgusting, though. I don't want to have to deal with them ever again. I sighed as I inspected the sole of my poor sneakers and made a face when I saw they were covered in a weird frozen gray sludge. We're gonna need to go shopping again soon. I need new shoes after this.
More shopping!
Amber gasped excitedly.
Sign me up.
Well, we'll need more gold for that. I laughed as I crossed the cave and scooped up the still-lit torch from the wall by the exit, before I headed back into the tunnel of the dungeon. Speaking of, let's go and see the Baron, shall we? I followed the same tunnel back through the dungeon, and there were thankfully no deviations from the route that could have changed my path back to the antechamber. After a few minutes, the dungeon steered me true, and we set off toward the Baron's castle once again. When I emerged from the dungeon and out into the forests around the town of Haddon, the sun was just about to hit its apex in the sky. It was a clear fall day, with a light breeze that could have carried a slight chill if it hadn't been for the clear skies and the warmth of the early afternoon sun. I could hear birds chirping and singing somewhere in the golden-colored trees above me, and I even spotted some bird of prey floating in a serene circle high above the forest. I followed the same path through the forest the Baron's messenger had once shown me, and eventually saw the two stone towers of the castle in the distance. The guards on the gate once again let me pass with varying expressions of snottiness, and the Baron greeted me warmly as I approached his throne in the great hall.
Samilla!
He exclaimed loudly, and his voice reverberated off the high walls of the hall.
I was just about to send for you!
Oh, you were? I asked as I stopped in front of his throne and bent my back in a reluctant half-bow. What for?
I have need of your services once again,
the Baron explained with a dismissive wave of his hand.
But what is that smell?
That might be me, I explained and lifted the heel of one of my blood-soaked sneakers. I was clearing out a blood fly infestation.
Blood flies?
The Baron sniffed in derision.
How vile. I thank you once again for your services.
Of course, sire. I bowed again and smirked as I prompted him. You said you had need of my services once more?
Yes, yes. My soothsayer has finally located the hideout of a mage threatening Haddon,
the Baron said as he sniffed again and wrinkled his long nose at me.
It is said this sorcerer desires my downfall, which I naturally cannot allow. He has also brazenly taken credit for the influx of monsters we've experienced lately, and yet he continues to hide in some lair beneath the hills.
The sorcerer was hiding in the dungeon? That couldn't be good. If he really could control the beasts of the dungeon, he could wipe Haddon off the map. So, you want me to take this guy prisoner? I confirmed as I folded my arms across my chest.
No,
the Baron said sharply.
I want him dead. Even if we were to take him prisoner, he's a threat to my throne and a threat to Haddon. Any trial would put him to death regardless.
Ah, so you want me to hurry the deed along? I nodded thoughtfully and then, after a moment, looked up to meet the Baron's hard brown eyes. Okay, yes, I'll do it. But I want double.
A A double payment?
The Baron raised a thick eyebrow as he stared down at me with a shrewd expression.
If you could please present your reasoning.
This isn't exactly a beast or a monster I'm going after, I said to him matter-of-factly. This is a man you want me to kill. Even if he is an evil magical one, the bounty cost is higher because of the target, not to mention the threat level. I reminded myself this world was not my own, as the Baron mulled over my words. This world was plagued by mythical creatures and monsters, some of which I'd already killed in the name of fame and fortune, and this evil mage should be no different, especially if he posed a genuine threat. The Baron sniffed and thought about my proposition for an agonizingly long moment, until a wide smile suddenly broke across his smarmy face.
Fine. Then you have yourself a deal.
The Baron just grinned down at me ecstatically, as if he were playing a particularly exciting game of chess.
Be sure to go to the quartermaster immediately.